Hello. Welcome to the Unity Spiritual Center of Albuquerque podcast featuring the Reverend Gordon Kyler or occasionally a guest speaker. You can find us online at uscabq.org or by searching for Unity Spiritual Center Albuquerque on Facebook or YouTube. You can visit us in person at 9800 Candelaria Road Northeast in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Today's special guest is Michael Small.
Today we're more than halfway through our exploration of the 12 powers this summer. How many of you have been enjoying the movie series? Yes. It's been fun for me exploring each of these principles, spiritual principles, through a lens of each movie that we've been watching. And as we deepen our connection with each power. Now, in case you've missed it, any of the Sundays, the 12 powers are for us to learn our faith. They are faith, strength, love, wisdom, power, imagination, understanding, will, order, zeal, illumination, and life. Did I miss anything? I think I got it, right? These are our core teachings. This is not some rigid dogma that we follow, but we've discovered the power in each of these powers to help transform us. For example, love is the power to express kindness and compassion. Strength is the power to perceive, and wisdom is the power to sound or make sound choices. And power is the ability to act. Imagination is the power to visualize and understand. Understanding is the ability to perceive and comprehend on a spiritual level. Notice all the powers that I threw out at you. Today we're focusing on divine order, recognizing that all of these powers work together in perfect harmony within all things. And we see each perspective, which is perfect for Mary Poppins. Now we can use our power of order to organize our closets, our garage, create a logical plan to follow, or we can become obsessive, rigid, perfectionistic. None of us is that, right? Not in this room. Now, if you ask the children, the YOUers, about divine order, they would probably tell you divine order is the ability to act from a center place. We might say that when we We might say that when we are consciously using our power of order, of divine order, we're living Romans 8:28, which states, "We know that all things work together for good for those that love God and are called according to his purpose." Notice that it doesn't say we know that all good things work together for good. It says all things, regardless of how they appear, are good. Excuse me. Charles Fillmore, our co-founder, described being in divine order as a perpetual Sabbath, as being consistently in peaceful place, kind of like in a flow. He says our minds are open to God every moment. He described it as releasing the outcome, not limiting God or even ourselves. Here's a quote from the 12 Powers of Man, which he wrote, "But we are not in quarrel with our brother or sisters over the observance of the Sabbath. If he insists that the Lord should be worshipped on the seventh day, we shall joyfully join him on that day. And if he holds true that the first day is the Holy Week, we again, because of who we are, we accept it. Not only do we do God's service and thanksgiving on the seventh day, but also on the first day of every week. That is because if we do, we're breathing in and walking the planet, or at least we try to be in perpetual Sabbath every day. Our minds are open to God. Our minds are open to God every moment. We are ready to acknowledge His holy presence in our hearts. It is a perpetual Sunday with us. We're not satisfied with just one day out of the week or out of seven. We don't set aside for religious observances like the trees or the plants or the birds and the flowers. We're joining in to a glad refrain of thanksgiving and in and out of season. When we work and when we sleep, we're ever praising the Lord, omnipresence, that burns its lamp of love perpetually in our hearts and keeps forever the light of life before us. Last year, I had the wonderful opportunity to teach Adventures in Faith last year, written by Brené Brown. At our home studies, we all have been to a lot of the home studies. I really enjoy them. I think you guys do too. Being relatively new to these classes here, I was thrilled to experience and didn't want it to end. Any of you ever felt that with the home studies? The class was dramatic and filled with spirit, creating an atmosphere where every word felt meaningful. The relationships, the bonds we formed made everyone feel like spiritual pioneers. I love that term, spiritual pioneers. It made me feel like Laura Ingalls. As spiritual pioneers, our role is to show up, go deep, be vulnerable, to be honest, and learn to trust each other and ourselves, to show up, be honest, and be present. And as I was working on today's message, those directions kept coming up for me, and I realized that how that was how we could be in perpetual Sabbath every day, how we could act from a center place, how could we be in divine order at all times to show up, be honest, and trust. Let's start with showing up, being present, being in the moment. When you're in the moment, you're not being influenced by past experiences or worrying about the future. You're fully present in the potential and the possibilities right in front of you. I believe that this is one of Jesus' greatest gifts, to be always present, always focused on the now, being in the flow. His mind, our mind, is open to God every moment. That's showing up. Let's do number two. Honest. To be honest. Look and see and tell the truth. This is another one of Jesus' gifts to us. And I believe his most important example. Jesus spoke the truth, allowing Spirit to work through him as him. Jesus had the quiet courage and the conviction. He knew that he had to speak what he had been given to him, regardless of the consequences. One of the things it's important to tell the truth about is our gifts. The Spirit was bestowed upon each one of us, these gifts, particularly to our mission here. And it's vital that we recognize and cultivate those gifts, even when we're not sure how to use them. Tell the truth about your gifts. Tell the truth about what you're here to contribute to the world, to your church, to your neighbors. Nothing will get you into the flow of divine faster than being willing to demonstrate your gifts. There's nothing humble about not demonstrating your gifts. Humility is not thinking less of yourself or your gifts. Humility is thinking of yourself less. Which leads me to the third direction, trust. I believe that this is the crux of being in divine order. It's about trusting that the universe knows what it's doing. Real trust is about thy will be done, whether I understand it in the moment or not. Remember last week we explored the power of will? We saw that God's will is our will, when we are aligned with the Spirit, or to be in constant with this, or consistent with this morning's power, when we are showing up and telling the truth about what ours is to be and do. Back to Romans 8:28. It's not all things work together for good if we're not. It's that all things work together for good when we love God, i.e., seek first the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom, and work according to God's purpose, i.e., be willing to demonstrate our gifts to make the greatest contribution. But what we trust here is that sometimes it takes a while to see the outcome of our work, of our commitment to be present and to tell the truth. The truth comes in that we need to keep on keeping going. As Martin Luther King taught us, to take that first step, not knowing what's at the top of the mountain. Divine order is also putting our life in order. What's important to you? What are your priorities? What do you do with your time, your money, and your talent? Ask yourself this. If your house caught on fire, what would you grab first? Now ask yourself, what would you miss in the fire? Something that whatever had burned. Tell the truth. So how about if we release what no longer serves us? The things you wouldn't even miss after a fire, literally put your house in order. You know, I've moved many times, and probably you have too. Mainly because my dad was in the military, I have become acutely aware of what is important to us and what isn't. Loading and unloading multiple U-Hauls really helps with that clarity, right? Divine order is our ability to sort out what is important and what is not. What do we put first? Real order is never imposed from the outside, but comes from the inside when we get our priorities straight or in order. Sounds like what Jesus taught us, doesn't it? Seek first the kingdom of God, and all things will be given to you. And where is the kingdom of God? Where is the kingdom of God? Go ahead and point to it. Good. Turn to your partner and tell them, or your person next to you, the kingdom of God is here. Go within, put God first, and everything else will fall into place. So here's what divine order is not. It's not an excuse for not doing what we say we're going to do. There's nothing divine about that, or orderly for that matter. You don't, like for example, and I know you guys never said this either, I don't feel like doing that, going to that meeting, so it must be divine order for me not to go. How about this? The universe is conspiring against me. I just don't have the time to do my homework. It must be divine order that I don't finish the program. And this one, this is much harder than I thought it was going to be. It must be a sign from God that I shouldn't do it. That's not divine order. It's metafizzling. It's all good. Everything is good. Everything is already good. That's the affirmation. That's not the denial. It's all good. Turn to your partner or person next to you and say, it's all good. So where is your life out of order? Where do our priorities need to be reprioritized when practicing this power? It's helpful to start small. Is there, like I said earlier, is there a closet that needs to be cleaned out? What about your garage? What about your checkbook? Maybe several months of ironing left in the closet. David Allen once observed much of the stress that people feel doesn't come from not doing doing too much. It comes from not finishing what we started. To paraphrase for our purpose this morning, it might be that much of the stress in our lives come from the lack of order, conscious order, and having our priorities straight. I invite you this week to practice your power of order by choosing one small area of your life and putting it in order by asking yourself, what is my priority? Am I making room for what is really important? This question is at the heart of this week's movie, Mary Poppins. Excuse me. Mr. and Mrs. Bank. And you guys know, that I never really saw this movie until I was 23. But I know every song, every line by memory now. Mr. and Mrs. Bank soon realize that they got a lot more than they thought they were going to get when they hired Mary Poppins, if you've seen the movie. We see that Mr. Banks is a wonderful example of overdeveloped adhering to that very rigid schedule and those very rigid expectations of what order in his family must look like. He says, I run my home precisely on schedule. And then Mary Poppins showed up. In this very orderly, rigid life, which, by the way, if you watch the movie, isn't working very well. Mary Poppins shows up, is delightfully unconventional, and she refuses to provide references. And she implies that it's she who's interviewing the banks, not the other way around. Mary Poppins brings her own brand of order, and she is very clear about what her priorities are. Although it takes a lot of us a little while to figure that out. The first thing that she does is bring order to the nursery. And as she does, she's teaching the children some very important lessons. For instance, as she pulls out a coat rack, a large mirror, and a floor lamp, and I think she also pulls out one of those big giant plants. What she's teaching Jane and Michael is that never judge by appearances. And I love that when the children look inside the carpet bag, they didn't see anything. She also uses music, a lot of music. That's Mary Poppins. And it's Julie Andrews. So it makes sense that she's using music as a key element in their lessons. This includes one of the songs we sang earlier, which everything that must be done, there's an element of fun, and a spoonful of sugar literally can help the medicine go down. Powerful lesson. How often do we get so sucked into our schedule and our expectations that we forget to have fun, and yet work is so much fun and more productive when we do. Right, Glenda? On an outing to the park, they ran into Bert, played by Dick Van Dyke, who is drawing pictures in the sidewalk. And in short order, Mary Poppins admonishes Bert, and she says, keep things simple. Why do you always complicate things that are so simple? Later, Bert and Mary and the children jump into a painting and learn the power of supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. I said it. Later in the movie, the children are supposed to go on an outing with their father to the bank, which had never happened before. Mary explains to the children, sometimes a person we love through no fault of their own can't see beyond the end of their nose. Sometimes we can't see little things either. Remember, divine order is our ability to sort out what is important and what's not. What do we put first? Mr. Banks had such an overdeveloped sense of order that he forgot what was really important. But Mary Poppins knew that order, real order, is never imposed from the outside. But it comes from within when we get our priorities straight. So back to Jesus. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all will be given. Seek first those principles that support us in showing up with integrity and authenticity as we as whom we have come here to be, and everything else will fall into place. One of the things that Mr. Banks had said he wanted was an orderly, cheerful household. This is a great example of being careful what you wish for. Because there's a wonderful scene where he's sitting at the breakfast table, and he's complaining to his wife that everything is too cheerful. He got what he wanted, but he couldn't handle it because it didn't look like what he thought it was going to look like. How many of us pray for guidance and for wisdom and for love and understanding and strength? And notice I just threw out the powers again. And as we pray our hearts out, oh, please, God, tell me what to do. And then we get that guidance. We say, well, maybe that's not exactly what I wanted. Anyone ever been there? It's not what we're expecting. And then when we get all out of sorts after that, right? So there's a wonderful scene where it was that one right after all that singing up on the roof with Chim Chim Chinny, Chim Chim Cheree. They all came down the fireplace, still singing, dancing around the house. And as they were leaving, they were shaking hands, shaking George's hands as they were leaving. Because when you shake hands with the chimney sweep, it always brings you luck. George is bemoaning the current state of his world and blaming it all on that Poppins woman. And he says, my world was calm and well-ordered. Then came this person with chaos in her wake. And now my life's ambition goes with one fell blow. It's quite a bitter pill to take. It's Bert who very gently and beautifully reminds George Banks that his children are growing up without him, and it's time for him to get his priorities straight. There was one particular sweet moment right after that scene where Michael and Jane tried to give back the father the tuppence that earlier that day had caused the run on the bank. It was just that simple, small act of generosity that started to melt George's heart as he began that long walk to the bank, knowing full well that he was about to be sacked. Gentlemen, go ahead. So as he brought before Mr. Donnie's and the board of directors, George and his had an epiphany and realized what is truly important in his life. And in the process, he finds joy. So the final number in the movie is Let's Go Fly a Kite is very symbolic. It's a metaphor for George's newfound joy. And here's the irony. This happens so often when we trust divine order. As he and his family head to the park to go fly a kite, he runs into the bank's board where he learns that Mr. Don's senior had died the night before, laughing at George's joke. And that left an opening for a new partner at the bank. So in losing his job, George found his life and got his job back. Now in the movie Saving Mr. Banks, which is the story of Walt Disney and author P.L. Travers, who wrote Mary Poppins and how the movie got going, Mary Poppins didn't come to... We realize Mary Poppins didn't come to help the children or save the children. She came to wake up the father. So this week, as we explore divine order, look at where your life is out of balance. Where do you need to prioritize or to bring a little order, perhaps a little joy to your life? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all things will be given to you. Show up, be honest, and trust yourself. And a spoonful of sugar doesn't hurt either. Namaste.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. If you would like to support this podcast, you may do so at uscabq.org.